Now, our next guest had a life-changing accident 2 years ago today. Melanie Griffith was in a motocross race and in a split second, her whole life has changed. So, you're a wheelchair user.
Yeah.
Do anniversaries count at all?
Yeah, I'm still counting them anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, but the actual day itself, you know.
Yeah, I'm still counting at the moment anyway. Yes, yeah, so maybe after a few years now, but yeah, at the moment, yeah.
What was the first anniversary like?
It was fine. Yeah, because I've achieved so much in the short space of time that I think they're like a landmark, you know, to get to them.
You're brilliant.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, where are you from originally?
I'm from Kilkenny originally, living in Carlow.
Right. I said you were a Carlow woman on the promo, so apologies for that.
You're all right.
You're a proud Kilkenny woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sports mad, is that fair enough?
Yes.
Yeah.
From a very young age.
From a very young age?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
And where did that come from, do you think?
I don't know. Just we got thrown into sports at a young age, I suppose, me and my brothers. So we just played them all. First would have been badminton and swimming, and then basketball, rugby, hockey, anything really.
Everything?
Yeah, everything.
Right. And then motocross.
Yeah, motocross started at about 8 years old.
Can you remember the first time you saw motocross in action?
Yeah, so my brother raced and I was watching him, and then I was riding horses and I found it quite boring. And we were on a family holiday in France and we found this place that had bikes, and I got up on one and came home and bought one. That was it.
So motocross is racing on off-road motorcycles.
Yes.
Motorbikes.
Yes.
So they're the ones with the big wheels, aren't they?
And yeah, like off-road wheels with the knobbles on them, yeah.
Right, motocross.
Yeah.
Right, so you're 8 and you go, that's the one for me.
Yeah, I stuck at it for 12 years.
Forget the badminton.
I stuck at them as well, but right. The motocross was kind of the priority for a long time, yeah.
And can you get bikes for 8-year-olds?
Yeah, you can start about 4 or 5.
Right.
Yeah, that's small bikes, yeah. So I started on a 65cc and then worked my way up.
Because they're off-road, of course.
Yes, off-road, yeah. So you just have to get a racing license, but it's not like getting a road license or anything like that, so you can start from a very young age.
Right. And did your brother compete to a high level?
We both would have competed in the UK. That was as far as we got. I stood out a few years longer than him, but yeah, we competed quite highly, yeah.
Yeah. And you competed against the lads?
Yes. Loved competing against the lads.
Was that sweet when you beat them?
Yes. Used to love it. They used to hate it. I used to love it.
Of course they hated it, yeah. So you went from 65cc up to...
When I had my accident, I was on a 254 stroke.
Right. Yep. 250cc, right.
Yeah.
What speeds do you get up to?
Everyone always asks that question.
Sorry.
I don't really know what speed you'd be doing, like, but it is fast paced. Like, see, we're hitting jumps and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like straight line, you're going flat out. And then like the tracks can get quite rough and bumpy and rutted. So you wouldn't be, as the day goes on, it would actually slow down quite a lot. But you're going fast now on a hard track.
Yeah.
But
it's like an obstacle course.
Yeah, like there's jumps and corners, yeah.
And they're man-made, or are they just part of the terrain?
Well, some of them would be built into the natural terrain, but most of them, to make them proper and safe, they'd be man-made, yeah.
Right. So it's sort of, and this is an expression, manhandling the bike, isn't it?
Yes, basically, yeah.
And you're pushing the back wheel back, and you're putting your feet down, and you're running up, and you're, And would you be on the back, on the back wheel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, up like that as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Very exciting, very exhilarating.
Very exhilarating.
Yes.
Absolutely loved it.
Adrenaline rush.
Yes, massively.
Like huge.
Yeah. Yeah, as in like I still love speed, even though it changed my life. I still love speed and would get back on a bike in the morning if I could.
Right. Mm. So you were saying your brother and yourself compete in the UK.
Yes.
Is that because the competitions aren't at the same level here?
Yeah, they're not at the same level here. We just don't have the numbers. We don't have the money in it. And even in the most recent years, they're really struggling with insurance. So they're really struggling to get bikes at the track at the moment because it's so expensive. So we used to travel over to the UK for a bit more competition. And I used to specifically travel over to compete against other women because that's kind of where you have to do that if you want to compete against the other women.
Dare I ask, why is it so difficult to get insurance?
Accidents.
Yes.
Yeah. Not specifically the motocross accidents, more the road racing accidents, and they're all under the same banner.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of them have come from that, unfortunately. Okay.
So when you were 8 and you encountered it first, it was all a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
At what stage did you realise that this is a dangerous sport?
I mean, I was a young kid. I didn't really care. Probably when secondary school, maybe 15, 16, had some crashes that stopped me riding, that type of thing. I had seen some scary accidents happen. Never stopped me, but I always knew it was dangerous. And I think my mum always knew it was very dangerous, but I always knew it could happen. Bad injuries could happen. I had a really bad injury to my arm in 2019. I had a break, a dislocation, and nerve damage in my arm. I was off the bike for 3 months, but once them 3 months were up, I couldn't wait to get back on it, even though my hand didn't work for 8 weeks, you know? Right. So I always knew, but I always loved it.
What were the chats between yourself and your mother?
Well, after I broke my arm, she didn't want me to get back on a bike, but she always knew I would. And she always was my number one supporter and loved coming to the races and watching me doing it. I think she closed her eyes for half of it, but she loved it.
Did she plea with you, or what did she say? I'd prefer Melanie if you didn't do this.
I think after my arm, she probably said that. She said, probably said, I'd prefer if you didn't, but she knew how much I loved her. She was never going to stop me doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was part of who you were.
Yes, massively.
Okay. So this day, 2 years ago then, where was the competition?
Doon in County Offaly.
Okay. And was it, you were doing really well that year, were you?
Yeah, so we had the Irish Championship and it was the first time that they had ever run a women's class in it. And I was leading it by a good bit. I had basically won all the races all year. No one was really touching me. And it was just a weird day. It had rained a lot and I didn't really normally care about the rain, but I just wasn't feeling it. And I went out and there was a lot of people in the race. I think there was like 45 people in the race. Not all girls, but there's other people mixed with us. And I just fell over in a corner. That was grand. I got back up. I was going back past some slower riders. And I hit a jump and just ran into the back of one of the slower riders. And that was it. Probably not even my biggest crash, to be honest. But it was a life-changing crash.
So you ran into the back of them. That's the collision. Mm. And then you fell off your bike.
Yeah, I came off to the side and I landed on rocks. And that's what done all the damage.
Ah.
Yes. Because I had shattered my T12, two fractures in my L1 and two broken ribs, all on the same line of my body, but not a scratch on me anywhere.
This is all your spine?
Yeah. Yeah, so all like around my mid-stomach region and not a scratch on me anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've gone through this over and again. So it sounds like you landed on the small of your back.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
On a rock.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that done all the damage.
Janie Mackers.
Yeah, because as I said, like, it probably wasn't even one of my biggest crashes. I've probably had bigger crashes over the years that people have come running thinking I wouldn't get up from, and I've got back up and finished the race, no problem. This one just was a weird one, yeah.
Right. So when does it dawn on you then that this is a life-changing event?
Some might say it never dawned on me. So I kind of accepted my injury very quickly on. I was the one where I don't remember much within the first probably week of my accident, but I remember being in the hospital when I got airlifted to hospital. I remember asking doctors, like, am I paralyzed? Am I paralyzed? And it took a few doctors for one of them to give me the straight answer. And he told me I was paralyzed. And I said, thank you afterwards, because he actually just told me straight. And then first week or two, I didn't remember much. My ribs were very sore. I didn't do much. But from then on, I was flying it. I think I was a nightmare to the hospital staff because I was just flat out and wanted to get going straight away. And people coming to visit me were the same. They were like, you're so upbeat about this. And I was like, well, I've just got to get on with it, don't I? There's no point sitting around open about it.
So that honest doctor told you you were paralysed.
Yes.
And with that, you won't be able to walk.
Yeah.
That doctor said that to you, right?
They probably said there was like a 95% chance or something like that. Like, they probably gave it a little bit of hope because they have to wait and see how surgeries goes and stuff like this. This would have been before I had surgeries, I kind of knew myself, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
So you defied their expectations and you did things that nobody else probably did before. And you have this air of positivity about you that carried you along.
Yeah, massively, yeah. So we spent a good bit of time in hospital at first, 11 and a half weeks in the matter, waiting for a bed in the rehab hospital in Dunleary. And that was just really boring for me because I'm a really active person. I was sitting around and I was doing nothing. I remember watching the Commonwealth Games on TV. I've never watched Commonwealth Games before in my life, and I was just watching random events and that. And then I got my bed in Dunleary and my consultant said to me, she was like, be careful now, like, this could take you a few months to get through this program. I was like, it won't. Got there 7 weeks later, I was out the door, and it's normally a 12 plus week program.
Right.
And I just got through it straight away and was out the door.
Well, you were sporty anyway.
Yes.
So you were fit.
Yeah, so
fit.
My physical strength definitely stood to me. I mean, I was throwing around 100 kg motocross bikes like for fun. Like, so that was like when you end up in a wheelchair, you have to lift your body weight. So a lot of people have to build up the strength to be able to lift their own body weight, whereas that was standard to me.
To
move between your bed and the couch and your car and stuff like that. Whereas that was all standard to me.
It's upper arm strength. It's
upper body strength is massive.
It's up doing press ups or
basically, yeah.
Right. So you were ahead of the posse on that one.
Yeah, I had the strength.
Yeah. Now, all of the time, so this is, you're busy now.
Yes.
You know, so it's you're out, you're in rehab, you're out there, you're doing your thing. It's it's like a preparing for an event again,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe you're distracted.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. I was distracted when I was in hospital. Everything's laid out for you. You know, it's a nice wheelchair accessible area. Everything's flat. Everything's at your disposal, you know. And then when you go out into the real world, it's slightly different. But I think I adapted to that quite quickly as well. I was lucky that when I went home, I lived in a bungalow. My house was accessible. I got straight back into sport. The one thing that kind of set me back was driving, because I was signed off to drive, but I had to have an automatic car and I didn't drive an automatic before. So the day I got my new car was like the day that my life started again. And it's just been amazing ever since.
Are there any down days, Melanie?
Not so far.
None?
No.
No, seriously.
Moments, like very brief moments, but about 5 minutes later, I've forgotten about them.
You're amazing.
I just see something happen, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. But then 5 minutes later, I've realised what I've done, and I'm like, ah, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you come out and rehab's over, you have a go at how many sports? What? Because you're different now. You can't run. So
yeah.
You've...
Yeah, so that was kind of like when I was in hospital, I was thinking about all the sports I can try out now. And the first one I started out was basketball a week after I left the hospital. I went straight to the South East Swifts in Kilkenny. And then that was the only one I committed to at the start, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't making everyone drive me all over the place. So I started playing matches for them in January, I think. And then when I got my car in March, I started other sports. Main one being rugby league. So I was a rugby player before I had my accident. So I was mad to get going at rugby again. And in May, I got the opportunity to do that. The Rugby League Irish team had a come and try session in Clontarf. And I went to that, absolutely loved it. It was absolutely amazing. The team was great. Thought not enough of it. I was like, oh, this is great. Maybe they'll invite me to a future training session. The coach came up to me afterwards. He's like, I'll be in contact with you very soon. And that night I got a call asking me to come to Edinburgh for the Celtic Cup. So within less than a year of my accident, I had made a debut for Ireland in rugby.
Right.
Against Scotland. Yeah.
Pulling on the green jersey.
Yeah, for the first
time. What was that like?
That was amazing. It was a dream that I didn't realise I had, because when I was a rugby player and I wanted to commit more to rugby, but because of motocross, I never could. Motocross had to be my priority. So I always watched rugby. I've watched rugby since a very young age. So it was a dream I didn't realise I had when I got that call. I was like, this is going to be absolutely amazing to travel over here and play an international match against Scotland and Wales.
And did you do hurling as well?
Yeah, so then I took up a bit of hurling. I'd never played hurling before, ever. Oh, right. I know from Kilkenny, never played hurling. And took that up just to give me something to do. And they also had an international team that went over to Prague to play floorball, which is like hockey, which I had played before in Kilkenny College. So they asked me to go to the trials for that. But I had been in camp for a week playing basketball in Scotland. And right. I was like, lads, I'm going to be wrecked. Like, I'm only coming home on Friday night. And they're like, come, see how it goes. Went to the trials, got picked and got named vice captain.
Right.
To go to Prague, yeah.
Right. So the Olympics is on and then the Paralympics is on. Is that something you aspire to now, maybe in 4 years' time?
Yeah, in 4 years, maybe.
Where is it on 4 years' time?
LA.
There you go.
A lot more exciting.
Yeah, you have your your flights booked, I'd say.
So they wanted me kind of to go to Paris. I was part of the Paralympics Next Gen campaign last year, and they kind of spotted me for throwing shot put because of my upper body strength. And it never tickled my fancy. I was like, oh, it doesn't really interest me. And they're like, oh, but you could go to Paris. I was like, oh, I don't really care. Like, I've never watched the Olympics before. I don't really care. So I said, no, I wouldn't. And give it a go, and then I stayed away from it, and now everyone's going to Paris and I kind of feel like I'm missing out now, and I'm like, oh, I wish I was going.
So they offered you
they all wanted me to train potentially.
Yeah,
and I said no, because it didn't appeal to me at the time. And like, but then when they told me that there was a Rugby League World Cup in Australia 2026, I was like, I want to do that. Right. Definitely want to do that. So it was just where my priorities were, which ones I was enjoying more.
And then LA 2028.
Yeah. So I've started playing badminton now. So potential for that.
Sometimes, Melanie, when a life-changing injury happens to somebody, it's the people around them who probably, oddly, suffer a bit more.
Yes.
Mentally.
Yeah.
How are your brothers and your mum?
I definitely think I definitely think everyone around me suffered a bit more. I remember people coming to visit me, like, I'm not a big crier, and they've all said, Mel, you've dried the whole house out, like, and I was like, for sure I haven't, I've barely shed a tear, like, and they're like, yeah, but we all have, and I was like, yeah, but I'm fine, and they just, I think it was hard for them to believe that I was fine, so it took a while for them to get used to it. My brother said he was nervous to come visit me, my younger brother, because we're quite close, and he was like, oh, I just want to treat her how I did before, and I was like, please do, yes. Don't come in looking at me, like, a lot of people are coming in with pity in their eyes and sad and stuff, and I was like, please don't do that, like, keep it upbeat, like, I'm happy, so be happy. You know,
you hate sad eyes.
Yes, hate sad eyes.
And the tilt of a head.
Yeah, hate all that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you tell people about it. Yeah. So your brother slags you now the way he would have before.
Oh yeah, same as he would before, and I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Mm. You prefer it that way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I can't get over your energy and your positivity. It's spectacular.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and is there a psychological side to this? Have you gone to therapy or anything?
No. It was offered to me and I always just said I was fine. I've just accepted it straight away. And people ask me how. I don't know how I did. I just did. I think it was my competitiveness, a lot of my stubbornness that I was like, I'm not going to let this stop me. People probably want me to fail now. I'm not going to let it. Do you know, that type of thing. And I've just got back into sport and I've just loved it.
You know, acceptance is a hugely important thing.
I accepted it straight away.
Yeah. We had a guy in Padraig O'Moran. He writes for the Irish Times. He wrote a book on acceptance. Mm. And if you can accept things in your life, that, you know, it really helps your mental health. Mm-hmm. So you've done that. What's the relationship with motocross now?
It's fine. Like, I get on with the lads and all still. But, like, I went to a race a few weeks ago and it's just dead, I suppose. And I can't do it. So I'm like, it's a bit boring now. I've got other things to be doing, you know. Yeah. So, but I haven't fallen out with it. I still love it. I'm in contact with all the guys. Still keep up with how they're doing, all that. It's been good, like.
And there's no anger, resentment?
No.
Nothing towards it?
No. Sure, I knew it could happen. I always knew it could happen. I'd still get on a bike in the morning if I could.
Yeah. And you're... What year are you in Trinity?
I'm going into my fourth year.
Doing what?
Microbiology.
Right, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, so...
It's a big growth area, is it?
Yeah, it's a big one. I don't know if it's really what I want to do anymore since my accident. It's a lot very full on, but thankfully when I went back, they gave me a sports scholarship. So thankfully Trinity Sport got onto me there, and that's been absolutely amazing. Amazing support, just getting time off for competitions and stuff like that, and then use of the gym and stuff like that. It's been absolutely amazing. It's helped me get through it. So hopefully now we can get fourth year done and get it out of the way and then train more full time.
Just a complete, by the way, were you named after the actress?
No, accidental. No.
Accidental, completely actress. Yeah, she's an S. She's an S at the end as well, isn't she?
No, it's the exact same.
Oh, it's the exact same.
It's the exact same, which is the weird one because Griffith's quite weird. There's normally an S on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
she's Melanie Griffith as well. Yeah. There's no S, right?
Yeah, my mum always wanted a daughter, Melanie. Just happened to marry a Griffith. That was it. So that was the coincidence, yeah.
Yeah. What an inspiration that girl is. So motivated. You would believe she could fly if she told you so. That's something special. What an amazing woman. We could all learn a lot from her attitude and joy for life, says Paul. And what a wonderful inspiration that young woman is. My son has been hospitalised 3 times because of the same hobby. I'm never happy until he returns from a race, says Kathy. It's a constant worry, isn't it, for parents?
Yeah, definitely.
What an amazing advocate for young people in terms of making the most of each and every life-changing event. She should visit every secondary school in Ireland to share her experience. Admirable, says that person.
Thank you.
Final question, I have to ask it. What if somebody came to you and asked you, should they be involved in motocross, what would you say?
I'd say yeah, but there's risks and it's expensive. I wouldn't deter someone from doing that at all.
Melanie, we'll talk again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so you're on summer holidays now from Trinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy your holidays and thanks for coming in. Thanks,
Melanie.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.